If you'd like to stand this morning, you're welcome to do that. And if you'd like to clap at this song, that'd be a good time to do that.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. I was sinking down. Jesus lifted me. I was sinking down. Jesus lifted me. I was sinking down. Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound. Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me.
Just thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning, this opportunity to gather again in your presence, Father, and worship you and praise you. We pray that our songs are lifted up to you and found pleasing to your ear, Lord. Please prepare us for a special message this morning from our guest speaker, Chris, and just for a wonderful morning of fellowship and hearing your word. And we ask that you bless the gift and the giver as we take this offering for you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're invited to stand once again.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
You may be seated.
Years ago, I knew a guy in Kentucky as we were going to school together, and his name was Gordon Rutherford. And Gordon always talked about his second cousin or something, Johnny Rutherford. When Chris came this morning, he mentioned something about Indian and Indian speed cars and all those kind of things. And I always think that's, you know, Gordon, I'm pretty sure, you know, he might have been related to the guy. But he was name dropping, wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah, Gordon Rutherford. Yeah, Johnny Rutherford. Yeah, we're like that, you know. I don't know, but this is what I do know. About Chris this morning. He knows Jesus. Yes. Amen. Come on, Chris, tell us about it.
You know, one of the wonderful things about the Word of God is that if we will take the time to put it in our hearts and minds, then as we go through life, God can apply it. He'll have his Spirit put it on the situation we're going through. So several years back, I was in New York City. I was on a business trip. It was me and three other guys. And at one point, we decided, let's go out and see Yankee Stadium. I mean, shoot, heard about it all my life. Let's go see it in person. So we got on the subway, and we headed out to Yankee Stadium. At one of the stops, oh, you know what I forgot to do? Hold the phone. I got to tell you the Word of God that's going to play on this story. All right? I'm going to pick it up in Philippians chapter 2. In verse 13, God says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. So at one of the stops on the subway, all these kids get on. And I mean, they're just kids, 11, 12, 13 years old. They're not at all, most of them not even teenagers yet. And they're going out of their way to be absolutely filthy. I mean, they're looking you right in the eye, and they're saying just nasty, obscene stuff. And right in the middle of it, I see this little girl, and she couldn't have been more than 13. And she was just sitting, and she was reading a little book. All right. I walked over, because you can do that on the subway, and I look down, and I see it's a Bible. And I say to her, "That's a pretty good book, isn't it?" And I don't know if she heard me or not, but then it hit me. The Word of God was shining into her light, shining like a light into her heart, right in the midst of this wicked and perverse nation. I caught myself wanting to thank whoever it was that gave that little girl the Bible. All I could think about is what a good thing that was. Somebody had to give it to her. And then I got back to Indianapolis, and I got a letter from the Gideons, and they asked me to a new member meeting, and I went, and guess what I found out? They did that. They gave out Bibles. And I thought, okay, God, 2 and 2 pretty much does equal 4. So I joined up. But then I found out they did a whole lot more than just put Bibles into people's hands. They were going throughout the world. We're in actually over 200 countries right now. All right? But here's the point. Andrew Knight was a Gideon that stepped off a plane at an airstrip in northern Uganda. It was not an airport. All right? There were no buildings. There was just 300 army men in their grass huts. And Andrew Knight stood around in the sweltering heat, and he said to himself, "What am I doing here?" And at that moment, the army captain came over and said to Andrew Knight, "What are you doing here?" Andrew said, well, he was there in the hopes of starting a Gideon camp with some Christian businessmen in northern Uganda. Since there wasn't anything to do and there wasn't any place to go, Andrew took out his testament and started talking to that army captain about Jesus. And a little while later, when the army captain bowed his head and prayed the sinner's prayer, Andrew Knight knew exactly what he was doing there. He was shining like a light in the midst of a wicked and perverse nation, and he was literally holding forth the word of life. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. And the Gideons, being your missionary arm, all right, are literally doing that all over. But a lot of the things that we do, you guys don't really know about. That's why I'm here. I'm here to help you to see what your missionary arm, the Gideons, are actually doing. We actually have, and we have for years and years, a booth at the Indiana State Fair. And again, like was adequately pointed out, we don't get paid to be there, but we're there because we want to lead men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus. That is our one overriding goal, to lead men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus. So at the state fair, we had prayed just before we went down this one particular time that God would do something remarkable. By the way, I advocate this prayer. You should pray this. We wanted God to do something so remarkable that we would be able to tell people and they'd get excited about it too. So we pray And then we go down there, and we're working away, and I'm handing out tracts, and this guy comes by. He's in his 20s, and I hand him just a little tract. And he pushes it back at me, and he says, "Satan's the one with all the power." I said, "Really? Tell me about it." So his name was Devin, and he just started teeing off on how Satan had all the power. He actually made some good points. He said, "Look around at all the evil." What's that tell you? The brother that's got all the power is Satan. So then this woman comes up, again, in her early 20s, and she says, "What are you two doing?" He says, "I'm telling him about Satan." And I said, "Yes, and then I'm going to ask him to consider Jesus." And she looks at me and says, "Good luck with that," and turns to walk away. And so I realize immediately, this is his girlfriend, all right? So I stop her, and I say, no. You might be interested in this, all right? Her name was Lacey. I said, "Just stick around." So he tees off for another 7 to 8 minutes, just going on and on, just garbage, all right? And now it's my turn, and I start talking about Jesus, and I start explaining who Jesus is, why he came, and that he loved you so much he died for you. And at that point, I see Lacey is crying. Tears are coming down her face. And I just stopped. I think I stopped in the middle of a sentence. And I said, "You know what I'm saying to you is true, don't you, Lacey?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you think you should ask Jesus to be your Savior?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Fantastic. Come on." And I wanted to step to the back of the booth. It's just a little booth, you know. I say to Devin, "Devin, Lacey and I are going to go back here and pray. You just stay right here." Well, he didn't wait for nothing, all right? We move to the back. He gets between me and Lacey, and he is just spouting pure garbage. He's now saying stuff like, "You know, Gandhi and Jesus were the same person." You know, stuff like this. He's just completely off the wall. And I'm in the back of my head screaming to God, "Do something. Come on, God, do something. God, you brought her. Here she is. She wants to say yes to you. You got to do something. You got to shut him up. You got to do something." All right? It's all the back of my head. He has no idea I'm doing this, okay? Her phone rings. She takes it out. She goes, "Yeah, yeah." And she hands it to Devin. Devin takes the phone, goes, "Yeah, yeah." And then he turns and just walks away. Talking on the phone, just walks down the aisle. And I looked at Lacey and I said, "You ready to pray?" And she said, "Yeah." And I went through the plan of salvation again, just to make sure she understood. And then we were ready to pray. And I said, "So you can go ahead and pray now." And she stopped and she said, "I don't know how." I said, "Have you never prayed any prayer at any time? To anybody?" She said, "No, I don't know how to pray." I said, "Lacey, you're going to love this. You can't do it wrong. You can't make a mistake. It's just your heart calling out to God. And what you're saying is what we've been talking about. You just want him to forgive you. You want him to be your Savior. You want him to save you. You want him to take you to be with him someday." And I said, "Any words you want to use, just tell him what's on your heart." And she prayed the sinner's prayer. Now, about the time we're done, and I'm handing her the testament we've been working out of, and telling her she can read this anytime she wants, because I'm giving it to her and she can take it with her. Right about then, he comes back. And he grabs her arm and just yanks her. I mean, yanks her 3-4 feet. Just boom. Come on, we're out of here. Just wicked, mean. And I'm smiling, saying, thanks. All right? Here's the part that I love. Lacey did not go to the Indiana State Fair to get saved. Devin did not bring his girlfriend to the Indiana State Fair to get saved. But God. Isn't God amazing? And see, what we don't realize is the fields are white unto harvest. I remember getting gas at a gas station in LaPorte, Indiana. And I handed the girl a tract that was the cashier. And she was like 17, 18 years old. And she took it and she just looked at it real funny. Like, what in the world is this? And I began to realize she's never seen one before. She has no idea what a tract is, okay? And then I said to her, I said, hey, do you have a Bible? And she said, no. I said, I think. I think God wants you to have one. And I had one in my car, so I went out to my car and I got one. And I brought it back in. I wish all the Christians could see this. I handed her a little testament. And she took it. And she went like this. And just started crying. Big crocodile tears coming down her face. And a few seconds later, I'm thinking, is she going to be all right? So I said, are you all right? And she said, yeah. She said, I've never touched one before. Ah! LaPorte, Indiana. Right in the middle of the United States. If you guys are like a lot of Christians, you got a dozen Bibles in your home. This girl had never touched a Bible. She was overwhelmed with it. Excuse me. By the way, I went to God one time and said, you got to stop this. I got to be an adult. I'm a professional. I can't be crying all the time. And he took away those massive emotions for about a month. And I went back to him and said, no, I want the emotions. I want the richness that brings to my life. So now I cry more than anybody I've ever met, but that's all right. All right? They're tears of joy for the most part. So you'll forgive me for that. The part about the Gideons is that we try to reach people from all walks of life. And what we do is we are out there in the highways and byways of life where people who are not looking for God can find him. All right? That's why we put them in the hotels. In other words, these people are not necessarily going to come into your church. They don't want anything to do with God. And a lot of times people go to hotels to kill themselves. Erin Thiel left her husband and her 7 children, including her nursing baby. She ran away and she wasn't coming back. It was over. And she went into the hotel, and in her own words, she found God waiting on the dresser. So instead of dying for the next 3 days, she never even left the room. She just stayed there, drank water, and feasted on the Word of God. Erin Thiel finally started, she went through all the helps in the front of the book. And she finally started to realize that her sins had separated between her and God. That her husband wasn't the enemy. She had an enemy, Satan, but it wasn't her husband. And then she finally, you know, got right with God. She camped out on one of my favorite verses. She ended up with, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." She did. She sent a letter to the Gideons. Your Bible saved another. You got to love it, don't you? See, this is the part that a lot of people don't hear about. That's why I'm here, to let you know that we're doing that, but we're doing it all over the world. All right? Ivan of Piotr. Oh, you got to hear this. This is good. In Russia today, there are 3,200 Gideons in auxiliary. All right? Your missionary arms got 3,000 in Russia. Ivan of Piotr was a Russian boy, a little guy, and his parents were both drunks, and they got arrested, thrown into jail, and so that meant Ivanov got sent to an orphanage. In the orphanage, the other kids beat him so bad that he ran away, and he was living on whatever he could find. So one day he's going through the garbage dump in the town he's in, looking for food, all right? And he finds a testament that somebody had thrown away, in Russian, not in English, all right? But he finds a testament. He never saw that before, so he starts reading it, and he stumbles across John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It made Ivanov furious. He said, "This is lies, lies." The one thing that he knew was nobody loved him. Absolutely nobody loved him. So he took the book and he went out and buried it. He said, "Nobody's going to read these lies ever again." But he couldn't stop thinking about it, because the Word of God is sharp and powerful. Ah, yeah. And it will not return void. So Ivanov goes out, digs up the book, keeps reading it, and ends up getting saved. And then, of course, we end up finding out about it. The reason I'm telling these stories is because your church isn't in Uganda. Your church isn't in Russia. Your church isn't in LaPorte, Indiana. Okay? Your church is not at the Indiana State Fair. Your missionary arm, the Gideons, are. This is, get a hold of this. This is so awesome. Anytime in 200 countries around the world, when somebody turns to Jesus through our ministry, you're in on it. You're in on those blessings. You are literally, if you're praying for the Gideons, you are taking part in the greatest missionary endeavor of all time. We've handed out 2.5 billion copies of the Word of God. Are you kidding me? That's a billion with a B. All over the world, people turning to Jesus. All you have to do is pray. Why am I here? This is a spiritual battle. All right? We got kicked out of the schools, elementary schools. They're trying to kick us out of everything. Okay? Government doesn't like us. We used to hand out little testaments to fifth graders. Indiana actually passed a law and said that was illegal. We are not allowed to do that. We still pass them out at high schools, but we are not allowed to do it on church property or school property. We have to literally be on the streets. So what we decided was they're going to end up shutting us out completely. We brought out the life book. The life book is free to churches, okay? And here was the intent. It is written for kids, and it's got handwritten notes through it, all right? It's got the Gospel of John, and the whole idea is your youth becomes a missionary of your own church to their schools, to their friends. You see, there's no law against one kid handing another kid a book. No law against that. We have, now this, get a hold of this. 3 million missionaries have handed out over 40 million copies of the life book. Life book's got the entire Gospel of John. So these kids can read that God so loved them that he gave his only begotten son. And all they got to do is believe in him. Wow. The feedback we've had from it, because teens are leading friends to Jesus. That's never happened. They never knew the joy. When the light goes on and you're there with somebody, that is awesome. All right? It really is. And then we try to figure out what's the best way to do the things we do. How are we going to get Bibles and provide them all over the world? We partner with the churches. One of the best ways we've done it is with the Gideon cards. All right? And I meant to check and see if you had a rack here. I don't know. But if you don't, we'll get you one. Wait a minute. You do. That's it right out there. I'm looking at it. All right. So praise the Lord. Here's the thing. And you just had, I hate that, but on the plus side, you just had a person that passed away this morning. Okay? I'm going to tell you about Tim Smith. He was a friend of mine. He got saved late in life, and he was very sickly. He couldn't even swallow. Okay? I obviously don't have that problem. All right? But Tim, he just, to the best of my knowledge, never witnessed to anybody. And then he died. When he died, a whole group of us, maybe 15 of us, got together, got an in-memory card, and we went through the inside and we wrote notes to Carolyn, his wife, and so that it became literally a keepsake. All right, and then we chipped in and put all the money together, sent it to the Gideons, and bought Bibles. And the way I looked at that was this. Tim never led anybody to Jesus when he was here. But the fact that he was here, yeah, we could give Bibles in his memory. And I know we're going to get to heaven. And we're going to find out people are there because of that. People are there because Bibles were given in his memory. And you can do the same thing here. The cards are out there on a rack. And it has been, it's been a help in my life. Because people have occasionally sent me cards, all right, and donated Bibles in my name. When my wife got her very first card from another Gideon, buddy of mine, it occurred to me I had never remembered my wife as a Gideon card recipient, all right? But she got it and it just blew her mind. It was like, wow, they thought of her. And in just thinking of her, we've got a thinking of you card. They thought of her and they gave Bibles for her. What an awesome thing to do. I don't know exactly what time I started, so I don't know when you expected me to be done. So I haven't gone over yet. I like that. So the idea behind the Gideons is we are partnering with churches with the one overriding goal of leading men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus. Your pastor is going to be informed very quickly. You're probably hearing about it for the first time right now. But the Gideons have come up with an initiative that's called Conversations. And the whole idea is we're going into the churches and we're having a 2.5-hour workshop. It's an interactive workshop, and it's literally helping us to learn how to have conversations about our God wherever you are. You might be sitting in the dentist's office. You might be, you know, wherever, at the grocery store. The whole point is God's people. This world needs to hear about God. This world needs to hear that Jesus loved them so much, he died for them. I got to tell you this one, too. This is so good. I hate to keep going back to the fair, but at the fair again, a different year, this girl came walking up, and she was nasty, just nasty. She looked demonic. She looked evil. All right, and everything from the multicolored hair to the tattoos to the way she dressed, everything just screamed evil. And she came up, I handed her a tract, she pushed it back and says, I don't want that. And of course I said, why? She said, because I'm Wiccan. And I said, well, I've known several people that have done that. Wiccan, by the way, is it's a witchcraft thing. She's a witch. So can we talk a little bit? So we start talking. And then I said, so what do you think of Jesus? And she says, he doesn't like me. And I said, why? And she said, because I'm a lesbian. So she's a lesbian witch, but she's smart enough to know God doesn't like that. I wish everybody could have seen her face, because I am sure I was the first person that ever told her that Jesus loved her anyway. Honey, you're why he came. He loved you so much, he didn't want you to just go to a lake of fire. He wanted to take you to heaven to be with him. But you're all screwed up, so how could he do it? And we talked. She went through the entire plan of salvation. And she was ready to pray the sinner's prayer. And one of the people that she was with, who left when we started talking, came back and they wouldn't even come to the booth. They stood at the end of the aisle in the expo center. They stood and screamed her name. Lillian! Come on, Lillian! Lillian, come on! And we put up with it for a little bit. And then finally Lillian looks at me and says, I probably ought to go. And then she promised she would read the Bible that I gave her. And she took it. And she was gone. But not forgotten, because I wrote her name down. And not only that, I just told all of you. Lillian is her name. And I'm hoping by now she's already saved. But you can still pray for her. And think of all the people that a lesbian witch can reach that you will never, ever meet. See, that's the way this works. God reaches out. He taps us on the shoulder. And he says, Pam, come with me. I got a job for you. And then you do what he shows you to do. And then the person that you witness to tells somebody else. it's really not rocket science. So basically what I wanted you to see today was that the Gideons really are your missionary arm. We covet your prayers, all right? The other thing is, I'm from Indianapolis, Carmel, but that's Indianapolis, all right? I came up here. We need more helpers, all right? Because, yeah, we do put Bibles in the hotels. And, yeah, we do get them to the military. We, you know, we've gotten just tens of thousands to the Military Entrance Processing Center in Indianapolis, where we give them to the shippers who are leaving, all right? And then they shut that down, and now we've got it in just a rack. And they're actually, there's more of them there that leave. In other words, we used to go there at 5 in the morning and hand them out, and the government said, no, you can't do that anymore. But they will allow us to put a rack there, and we just keep restocking it. And thousands of Bibles go to these guys because they're free, and they can just pick one up when they're there. All right? Pray that they pick them up. Pray that the kids at the schools, all right, will read the Word of God. By the way, they don't have to read them when they first get them. Do I still have another 5 minutes? All right. A lady in South America, I believe it was Ecuador, okay? She was going to kill herself, and I'm making a long story short. She got pregnant, and her parents disowned her, kicked her out of the house. She's just a high school kid. Kicked her out of the house, and her dad just wanted absolutely nothing to do with her. And then the baby was born, the baby was sickly, and then the baby died. And so now here's this girl who's not allowed in her house and not allowed, you know, just her world has just come crashing down. The boyfriend left as soon as he found out she was pregnant, all right? So she was going to kill herself. She decided she was going to have her parents find her dead body. So she came home, and she sat down at the kitchen table. And she thought, okay, I'm going to do it right here. My parents get home. They're going to see my dead body, and that'll be that. Her sister comes home from school, throws her book bag down on the kitchen table. That day, gotta love a God like ours, that day the Gideons had been by that school and given her a testament. And when it came out, it kind of knocked out of the book bag and onto the kitchen table, and the girl that's totally distraught looks at it and goes, I got one of those. She remembered getting one of those at school, but she never, ever read it. Now, she's at the end of the line. She just picked up her sister's Bible and started reading it. And a little while later, she asked Jesus to be her Savior. And when her parents got home, instead of finding her dead body, they found her crying, but they were tears of joy. This is our God. He gave us a book. We can read it any time we want. And what I'm saying now is, make sure you're reading it. I want to encourage you to listen to your God. Listen to what he's got for you. As you go through life, ask him to apply his word to your life. His spirit will do that. And now I want to close with this. You know, I wanted to thank that guy who gave that little girl the Bible. And I really did think that was one of the greatest things ever. I got to thinking about this. What do you think? Because I've got the world all over me. I've never seen how wonderful heaven is, but I've never seen how hideous hell is either. All right? And if I, in my rotten condition, would want to thank whoever gave that Bible out, can you imagine what Jesus must think when somebody gives his word? Yeah. Yeah, we can get excited about that. It's almost like you can hear him shouting, yeah, go for it. Tell him I loved him so much I died for him. And make sure that you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want to thank your church for letting me be here today. Thank you, Pastor, for the amount of time that you let me have as well. I do covet your prayers. If any of you men feel like you're called to be a Gideon, come and talk to me. We need all the help we can get. All right? And I will be at the back with an open Bible. 100% of the money that you give goes to the placement of Scripture. We actually pay dues that pays for our overhead, phones, computers, you know, buildings, all that stuff. So literally 100% of what you give goes to the Bibles. So you can rest assured we're doing what we say we do. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for Calvary Baptist. I pray for your people here, Lord, to get excited about you. I pray for your people, Lord, to just hold up each other in love. I think of this family that had a death this morning. Lord, help this church come alongside of them and just show the love. That really, it's about all we can do at sometimes like this. But Lord, help us to love one another so that the world sees us, sees this church, and realizes that you are God. Lord, they see how we love one another, and they realize you are God. Lord, that we might lift up each other so that they might show the world you are God. We thank you and we praise you for this time today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus came beneath the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flow from Calvary's mountain, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransom soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beam around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory. Shall find rest beyond the reach.